Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
I don't want to hear him talk.
And there's Rob!
Live from Racine, Wisconsin, where are the G2B towers?
In the basement. Hey!
Reverse the G2B towers cast a shadow.
Suck it!
Damn it.
Goddamn!
It just won't stop!
It just keeps coming!
We'll redo that intro. Hold on.
No! Leave it out! No!
I mean, we'll leave that on.
It won't stop going!
I can't call it! I mean, you feel so good!
I was concerned a few of them might have gotten a little cold.
Let me just shake this little.
I
it hurts!
Maybe,
Peter, what are you doing to me?
Hold it a little, maybe love it a little.
Yeah, this is definitely old school G2B right
here.
Yeah,
this is.
You mean awesome.
Yeah, so this is
the drunker episode.
All right.
Yes, this is the drunker episode.
Live from Racine, Wisconsin's towering G2B. Fuck sticks. Live for the G2B Towers, casting a huge shadow over Oprah's apartment in Racine, Wisconsin. It's the Guys, Gays, and Beer Show.
Yay! By the way, that is a factoid. That is a real factoid.
Yeah, that is a real factoid.
The
G2B Towers just...
cast a shadow on her apartment.
She's been bitching for years about it.
I know.
Ever since we built the tower.
We're not
overnight.
Changing it. Sorry. Yeah.
It just won't stop foaming, guys.
I've heard that line before.
Well, he apparently got the dud.
I hope all of you go through
so
that.
So we gotta go to beer court.
Mine's fine.
It's time for beer court.
Yeah.
Dun, dun,
dun. Hey, release fun us.
Dun, 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 dun. Beer court.
Will this beer be guilty of making Ben cry?
I think it is, actually.
Oh my god. Do you need to be able to pronounce it to send it to prison?
It's a Hefeweizen.
Oh, no, it's a Hefeweizen.
It's a Hefeweizen.
No, you just
hey, you got
some
Euro trip, right?
Both Hefeweizen from Port Huron.
Hefeweizen. This is
yeah, whatever. The hell.
You have to read this beer. This beer's touched me in places I don't like.
I'll have to full disclosure. I'm actually an advocate today because I have tried this.
Throw it on the court.
I thought it was good, and I thought I would bring it to court to see if I was correct. That this is a good beer. We've had a run of really horrible beers.
We have, actually.
And so
shots.
I thought I would treat the team to one that I think is good.
Okay, so my first question was Port Huron. I have not seen them out of the state of Wisconsin. Local
Wisconsin
only?
Dells.
Okay, so but you can't get them out. They're only in Wisconsin.
They may only be Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah, I haven't seen
they're
them down
that
here.
They're local.
All right.
They're that local.
Hyper local.
Hyper local to Wisconsin Dells. And if you, for those of you that don't know, Wisconsin Dells is essentially Wisconsin's Disney World.
Yeah, it really is, actually.
You know,
pretty much.
But it's like the B-roll of Disney.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of people that come from out of state to go there, you know?
By out of state, he means Illinois.
It has North America's
from
Illinois.
From Minnesota
and Illinois.
And Iowa.
North America's largest water park, guys. Come on.
North America's largest water park.
If you're really into water parks,
okay,
you might
is,
go to
the name of the brewery is Port Huron, which is an actual port in Wisconsin. It's a quality built beer. So their whole tagline is...
Not brewed,
is,
built.
No, it's a built. No, they really they are going with this
we
whole
have the technology,
theme,
we
right?
We can rebuild it.
So the Port Huron Brewery derives its name from our grandfather's 1970 Port Huron steam tractor. So they do mean built, actually, which operates to this very day. So literally, this 1970 steam tractor is still up and running. This fine machine embodies the values of our family-owned operation. Careful construction. You know, I don't know if a careful construction with a beer is a necessarily good thing. Without haste and a full day of honest work and talking.
So there's sweat in this beer.
This is a communist beer.
It is a communist beer, yes.
I hate this beer.
Sit down, relax, settle in, because there
are
two
things. Wait, are we supposed to relax or work hard? I don't know.
You never rush. A good story or a quality built beer. So they are using built as their theme.
But guys, yeah. Am I relaxing or working hard? I really don't know.
Now, as far as the beer actually goes, they talk about it's an unfiltered blend of wheat.
Go, go, go. Suck it.
And this has a vibe.
It's just going to keep coming, dude.
Just drink some.
It's going to be refreshing, according to them.
Well, we'll find out here. Okay, gentlemen, drink
and
that.
It's an American to the German standards. An American to the German standards.
Two out of six have cried. Okay, a third of the podcast has cried drinking this beer. And I feel like it was user error on whoever chilled this beer.
Today's disclaimer.
It was user error.
It's ice. This is like 90% ice.
No, yeah, it was just coming out as a column. Mm. It just keeps coming in your mouth, dude.
Your table's gonna be so
what the
sticky.
Fuck? What the fuck is this? This is a beer? That's not beer. I will clean this up, but then
beer just took a shit out
of it. The beer is pooping like a horse's butthole.
It happened to me too.
That's not beer. That's that is. That's wrong. It just pooped on my hand. I don't care. This horse is dead. I can't even drink this beer. It did the poopy thing, but now there's like a poop log, and I can't get to my beer.
Mine is sufficient.
How does beer even do that?
I need an adult with a towel.
That. I've gotten Miller to do that.
You want to try mine?
No.
All right.
I'm already traumatized.
So, this card has been
subjugated to cruel and unusual punishment.
This card has been granted power by Racine Alderman Keith Fair, who smacked over a sign over by my the court over there when he's drunk driving. thanks, Keith. We appreciate you authorizing our beer court today.
Fine representation.
All right, so
it's gonna be a moment.
Yeah. Can you get a representation? It is a delicious beer. I'm telling you, it is.
It's a Hefeweizen.
It's kind of fruity. Fruity.
Yeah, that's
it. I can't get to any of it still. I had a sip. It's tasty, but I'm also traumatized. I'm also mildly traumatized by this beer. Of it was served way too cold. And it did the sploogey thing. And you're just sitting there, and you're sucking.
So,
and
what we
trying
learned
to do the
is,
intro.
Ben had a rough childhood.
Damn it, I made eye contact with Travis.
And now I got a weird show going on.
Bob's fridge, super effective.
That wasn't a fridge and not a freezer?
That was a freezer, but, you know.
Jesus.
There's a big difference, Larry.
I need it. Yeah. I have beer all over the joint.
I mean, it seems like okay, Hefeweizen. Next time you need to chill a beer fast, it's ice and water.
And salt.
And salt. Thank you. That's what I'm saying next. That's how you chill
we'll remember
beer
quickly.
I learned that from Mythbusters.
I gotta say, not bad.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Love me some Mythbusters.
Yeah, cross promotion.
I mean, it tastes like a fairly standard.
Hey, Adam Savage is my spirit.
It's like Hofbräu.
But it's a little more powerful, a little more fruit on it. So it's
really tastes much fruitiness. Maybe it's because it's fucking cold as shit.
Well, that's probably you don't taste the fruity.
Well, you can have a warmer one.
It does have a little bit of a fruity taste.
I got the fruity taste to it.
Yeah. No, it's definitely got the fruity taste.
Now the problem is I can't get any beer to come out of it.
No. It is all ice, dude. That's nothing but. That's. The entire thing froze. Can't, no liquid. None good.
The classic listeners are going to love this. They're going to be like, oh, wow.
Yeah, we are.
The guys, Games and Beer, I started listening.
That's right. The second episode.
You're welcome,
I'm turning
friends.
This off now.
Yeah, right.
Second, more drunker.
Yeah, wait a minute. This is an even number episode. Don't listen to the even number episode.
G2B history, we used to always record two.
So it's like Star Trek.
Right.
And we became too drunk in the second one.
Right. So episode one, great. Episode two,
No, because
trashed. Episode, you know, 3, brilliant. Episode 4, trashed.
Well, we were
there's
still
probably
doing
about 100
shots.
Listeners who are like, yeah, that's classic G2B. And
I could not not talk about the beer that was exploding all over Ben and me.
I'm sorry. With it. I think we need to keep that intro, though. And the drag to do multiple
things. I'm not
going to
cut it, because that would mean
So, where are we at with this in court here? I know there was some dramaticism to it, but...
Okay, no.
Try to be impartial.
This is truly classic G2B.
Words are hard.
Are you dramaticism?
It's a solid Hefeweizen. It's got the
even with all the
drama.
Even with
trauma?
User
no,
error?
Drama, trauma.
No,
even
it was trauma.
Error,
okay.
It was my
trauma.
Fault.
It was my error. I overfroze it. I overchilled
it. Okay, but it's good. It's good. All
right.
I can't find the gavel.
The gavel's behind there. I have to abstain.
You gonna abstain?
I abstain.
That's the first time he's ever practiced abstinence.
No, abstain, not abstain.
And I abstain because I'm an advocate, so I already like
you.
It,
you
so.
Can still say you want.
So I'm already gonna put in a little thumbs up.
All right.
I can't put it in this time.
Because the beer put it in you.
It just kept coming out.
That's what she always says. My beer just kept coming.
I've never seen a beer come out like that.
That's pretty rough.
I've heard that line before too.
Okay, whatever the hell you are, Weizen. Nah, by
Port Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen.
Port Huron, I hereby find you guilty of tasting pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And I sentence you to a drinking.
Yay!
There's gonna be no beer that comes out of this bottle.
Order in the court. Order in the court.
We have a victory beer.
And that's the end of beer court. Wow.
Okay, so what is the actual topic for tonight, Rob?
I cannot remember. No, it's the 90s. It is the 90s. We're going to talk about the gay 90s.
Dude, never forget.
We're going to talk about Screech. Oh, wait.
No, we're not talking about Screech.
No, we're going to talk about...
He lives in northern Wisconsin.
Twice.
90s.
He mostly is arrested in Wisconsin.
I thought he got arrested twice in Wisconsin.
Did he?
Twice? Everybody gets arrested in Wisconsin.
He stabbed someone, then he got arrested again, I thought, again in Wisconsin.
No, he got arrested, like... Twice in within a few
Screech,
days.
Yep. In Wisconsin.
Welcome to Screech Talk with Guys, Gays, and Beer. So how many times did he get busted for stabbing somebody in Wisconsin, Larry?
Once. And then there was
once. But then he broke his parole like right away and then the yoink.
Welcome to Wisconsin. So wait, I suppose we probably should say who Screech is.
What about everybody Zach?
Dustin Diamond.
Not everybody knows who Screech
is. Which sounds like it's either a wrestler or a porn star, really.
All right, so Dustin.
So Saved by the Bell was a 90s TV
series. That doesn't help when you actually say his
name. I'm a champ.
Dustin Diamond.
Fucking who cares?
Was that Disney shit?
No.
I don't know, but you can catch it on
TBS. It was a TBS.
No, it was
not. Yes, it was.
Nobody cares what channel it was on. Let's talk about the show.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You're getting old for
it. What time was it on?
Diamond.
It came on at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Saturday morning. I remember because I just cheated on my TV dinner.
Yeah, she had to walk uphill both ways.
That and Matlock. That and Matlock.
Murder, She Wrote, Calm Down.
In fact...
Andy Griffith show was pretty damn skippy.
All right. Welcome to an even episode.
Yeah, wow. So Dustin Diamond was a star of a 90s sitcom.
Still say should have been
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell. And he gets arrested in Wisconsin a bit. But don't we all?
In the show, in real life.
No, in real life, yes.
It wasn't a plot line.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a plot line, right?
No,
he absolutely got arrested.
Yeah, for stabbing somebody.
But that was after he was going to lose his house. So and he sold t-shirts to try to save his house.
Welcome to Wisconsin.
Save Screech.
Welcome to Wisconsin. All right. So what we really are going to talk about is 90s video games.
That's right. And we're going to start with the games
we're gonna,
of the
we're
90s.
Gonna, we're going to keep it to 90s console, right?
Not necessarily. No.
In the 80s, I was all bitch slapped for like... Trying to bring in arcade games.
Yeah, and did you see anything about in the topic discussion saying it had to be console?
Wow, I just sort of.
Whereas it didn't during the '80s one.
That's what happens when you make
80s console.
I miss.
Yeah, you make an ass out of you and me.
It's
SUU.
Can you guys do anything consistently?
Come on. Have you watched our show?
All right.
It's consistently not that great.
It's consistently inconsistent.
All right, Rob, why don't you start this out?
Damn it.
God damn it.
What, you want to start it?
No, I'm going to go with... I'll go. I'm going to throw out some Metal Slug there. I got to say, of games that I play consistently really? That were from the 90s... Yeah, Metal Slug. It's badass. It really is. It's a great game. It has a good sense of humor. It had an old school feel to it, which I was, you know, in the 90s, I was still kind of just a refugee from 80s gaming, and it was really nice to see a side
scroll. Go back to your own country.
By the time I saw, God damn it. By the time, Trump? But I'll build a wall!
He's pro-Brexit.
You're Brexit? Yeah, you're a Brexit boy, aren't you?
He's you know, a Brexit boy. I can't say
you mean everyone that immediately anyway, regretted their decision?
I can't.
No. There are certain...
Anyway, about Metal Slug.
Brexit is a lot like my ex-girlfriend's. Oh, I regret my decision to pull out.
Pull out?
All right, so...
Now I understand. You want to bring a illegitimate Neo Geo system in. I get it.
Or I wish I would have pulled out earlier. Either or. Okay, so we're going to talk about 90s games. I am talking about Metal Slug. Which, you know, when I saw it in the arcade, which was by then actually a laundromat. But still, when I saw it at the laundromat, I said...
Hey, a laundromat, you still use quarters in the machines, and the prize is clean clothes.
Exactly. That is, indeed.
All laundromats are actually arcades. Lie to yourself. It helps sometimes.
I approve.
Just really shitty arcades.
Yeah.
Shittiest fucking
arcades. No, but at the I was in Kansas at the time, the first time I ever saw it. And, you poor bastard. I know.
He's still in
the Sorry, all Kansas losers.
The four of you.
I've been drinking.
It's a whole population.
That's a county. State.
That's right. The first time I saw it, I was like, God dang, that's just like old school gaming right there. And I was very happy with it. And I played it, had a good sense of humor. It's a hard, it's not a hard game. Not if you have a lot of quarters.
It's quarter here, though, yes.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, it's bullet hell when you're walking through it. But it's not impossible either. It's a fair game. Well, sometimes. It's a mostly fair game. You know, I'm really backing out of this now at this point. I actually fucking hate that game. I'm just kidding. No, I really like that game. And it was one of the games in the 90s that I said, you know, this is really enjoyable for me. At a time when it was a whole lot of slow-ass 3D games. You know, there were some exceptions.
You know what? There was a period
there in the 90s where a lot of the games were this... These slow-ass versions of 3D games that you probably should have played on the PC.
I gotta say, though, it's like, there's so many great games in the 90s. And, like, the 90s were a time when games went from being, like, you know, the simple platformers. Like, okay, get from point A to point B to characters that had development and backstory and games with great plot. And how did you, like,
the result of back then?
I would agree with you. The 90s really introduced the long story format.
Yeah, rather than very simple gaming. And, like, there's nothing wrong with a simple game, but it's like Metal Slug. Like, all the games, I mean, that's your choice, but it's like, Metal Slug? Like,
basically saying you're wrong.
Dude, I had Ultima.
You just didn't say you were wrong.
No, I mean, we had Ultima to play in the 80s. I'm sorry. No, we had depth. We had a deep game, and I felt that in the 90s, the RPG actually became the RPG light. I mean, that's my opinion. It just became kind of an RPG light, and it turned me off for a while. Now I love Final Fantasy and games of that ilk. I really do. I like them now, but at the time, it really felt like, this is really just a low-ass and dumbed-down RPG, and I really didn't think much of it at the time. No, I love it. I mean, Final Fantasy VII is one of my favorite games of all time. Not just Final Fantasy.
There were some solid... I'm going to go a little later in the 90s. There were some really solid
RPGs. Yeah, a little bit later there were. But I'm saying at the time I saw this game, I was kind of like, you know, RPGs aren't what they used to be. They're not really RPGs anymore. They even fucking turned Ultima into a pussy-ass game on the Nintendo.
In the 90s they did.
Let's have all the characters follow each other. Really? Fucking really?
Right. No.
Let's make everything get off my lawn. Get the hell off my lawn!
Stop fucking my Ultima!
I think I've got a really, really good 90s. Choice, and that is the original Diablo.
Great
game. Son of a bitch! You screwed him.
Counts for both the PlayStation.
I think that's a screw. It's a great game.
Yeah, and for multiple reasons. A, it was a really damn
solid
game.
Your choice sucks.
It was very. I mean, there have been games that do procedural dungeons before.
Yeah,
but Diablo really stepped it up to the next level. And its multiplayer with Battle.net was just revolutionary for the time. Battle.net was just an amazing network. It still is a great network. I mean, but for its time, like what you could do on a dial-up connection to connect up to other players and instant zones and chat, it was just otherworldly. God. And again, like I'm sure other people hopped on, other honorable mentions like Ultima Online,
but they were
not the same.
But that came first.
Yeah, right. But not nearly as good. Diablo was one of the first games I logged in, and I literally did not realize that it's 5 a.m. and I got to go to work.
Yeah, but it's like that moment that when you realize you're playing with, like, other human beings and, like, questing in real time in the same dungeons. I remember Ben and I, the first time we ran into somebody fucking wearing the Godly Play of the Whale, the hacked shit. Yep. And I was like, wow, like, how do I get that? And, like, you start socializing with people and talking.
You learn how to dupe, you have to drop it, walk up to it, and click the potion same time, boom. Yeah,
right? Easy. Easy peasy. But it was just
exploits. Then download Boba Fett and you have Dabble Train or whatever, you know?
In the middle of the 90s, man, like that just, it was a game changer. It really was. Oh. And the how well the Battle.net service ran consistently.
Especially for that time period.
Yeah, for that time period.
Amazing how good they were.
That helped it succeed over a lot of other games.
Because it was, this is why? Because they also showed you the latency between the servers, too, which was amazing. Because, like, oh, this is red. Don't join that one. I'll join this one. And it was.
Oh, and you could play that bitch on a dial-up connection. It was.
Oh, I did when I first started playing. Yeah.
Blizzard knew how to build networking, and they still do. They still do a great job, and it's got the Blizzard polish, and it was an absolutely beautiful game. And I really, really think that it had everything that the 90s deserved. You know,
I still can't learn the game memorize like dialogue.
That's bad. Oh my god, I played.
Okay, I'm gonna go back a little earlier than 90s. So there was. The '90s had so many turning points as far as gaming goes, but I think again,
I'm starting to think it's almost unfair to like just say '90s.
No.
There's just you're right.
We're doing
there's
a decades so many, episode.
Yeah,
so many turning points.
There are, but I'm gonna go back.
There's
early
never 90s. Happy no matter
92, what. 92, 93. ID Software comes out with Doom on the PC.
Yes.
Before this, the PC was not a gaming platform, period, exclamation point. You didn't buy the PC if you wanted to do. Yeah, I know Wolfenstein had been out and other
games. Loved Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein was a good game.
It brought back Wolfenstein.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there who really think that Wolfenstein started with Wolf 3D. There are people out there that...
Really? Don't remember the...
Don't know that there was Wolfenstein before Wolf 3D.
Right,
and
it was
I'm going to be one of those people.
But Wolf 3D was great.
I thought Wolfenstein 3D was
it. In the early 90s, the PC was not considered a gaming machine. You wouldn't buy a PC if you wanted gaming. You bought that for your home office, for whatever. But you didn't buy it for gaming. Then came Doom.
Yeah.
And this was probably not the first FPS game, but it was the first one to actually make the format.
I had to go buy a DX4. Man, I was like, God damn, my 486 is cold. I need a DX4.
Right, just to have enough power to play that game.
And something better than a Sound Blaster.
Oh, yeah. And Sound Blaster 32, that sold more high-end graphic cards of the time, more Sound Blaster cards of the time, because... For Doom, you needed Sound Blaster was the card to have. Also, all the Sound Blaster compatible cards.
For the Peanut Gallery, meow. Just
want to bring meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow. Meow.
Okay.
You really got to start showing like Twitch comments on the main podcast.
All right. We probably should actually have the main podcast.
Meow.
So, but
right meow.
Right
so,
now.
So the whole thing was about the
meow meow.
Doom really. Doom started selling PCs as gaming. I literally know people who bought a PC so they could play Doom.
Oh, one of the first times servers were completely swamped. Dial-up was just dead. You could not get on there when Doom was released.
Yeah.
It was just so amazing. So amazing. Shareware. Doom did so many things for so many different types of software. I mean, shareware being, you know, kind of the early
Doom had a scaled down shareware version the full version you could buy.
But it's sold
When you bought it, you get the first few levels, and then they literally had a phone number you could contact to get the full version of the game.
Yeah, you could call them if their BBS was down.
Or you could go back down to level one and just play it again.
Exactly,
it's great.
But it really bought the whole for. I'm going to say, as again, I know Wolfenstein was the first-person shooter, and there were other FPSs before this, but I think Doom developed that in the early 90s. They made the first-person shooter game popular.
What's your thing of the litter for Doom? Which version do you think was the best? I've got one. So.
2.567.
No.
But like, what platform? The SNES version. No, I'm kidding.
That's a very good question, actually.
What's the best Doom version?
Platform. Yeah. No. Platform version.
Yeah, platform version. Not, like, version, for God's
sake. I think on a PC was...
I have to agree with you. I'm going to go with Larry on this. Straight on the PC.
I'm going with PlayStation. It was really good. Ultimate it had that lighting Doom. Effects. Yeah, it was really nice.
And you couldn't mod it to really weird skins.
You could do on the PC.
God, I remember buying discs.
And eventually you get Star Wars skins.
Right, with all those... Literally, so there was like third-party companies making all sorts of like hacks and expansion packs and different levels and skins for Doom in the early days.
I remember Doom buying like these big packs.
Not even just it was so popular at the time. It lasted for years, just because of just like you could mod it.
Valve and,
Today. Yeah. Still today, there's new ones.
So, for my 90s game, that's going to be it.
It's a legit
game changer.
Yeah, it was a game changer. Thank you,
Not only was it a game changer, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a good game.
It really was.
Even going back now, it's still awesome.
Yeah.
How about it, Ben?
Age of Empires 2.
Ooh.
Nice.
That was super involved RTS. That just like they had great campaigns. You could save your campaign and set stuff up.
So pre that, some of the RTS games were things like SimCity and games like that. But Age of Empires brought it to a whole new level.
Yeah,
they were like the ones that proved that it didn't have to be Blizzard making an RTS.
Actually thinking about Warcraft 2. And I was just like, yeah, Warcraft 2 is solid. I really like Warcraft 2. But I think Age of Empires 2, that is what brought it to just like the next level. Of it was kind of like that Sid Meier Civilization.
Right.
Where there was the progression. And then just it gave it a deeper level than just that Warcraft
2. It's a good looking game, too.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
I think
it was real pretty.
It was pretty and it was just really deep. Just a good game.
It was super solid.
That was Microsoft Studios, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Age of Empires was produced by Microsoft.
All right.
Ensemble Studios made it.
Yeah, holy crap. Microsoft doesn't really make anything.
Yeah, but they don't even make OS.
No.
Not
really.
True. Every word makes me think of another great 90s game. The 90s was a pivotal point in gaming. It really was.
No.
So something I want to talk about is, I'll just get there in a minute. But we have not talked about 90s really was the transition from 2D and isometric. Alright, never mind. I'm gonna stop. Never mind. And how about you, Tyler?
Well, Travis did take my absolute number one. Out of everyone here, I scored another one.
Diablo fan, that's fair.
I played the fuck out of Diablo, but Diablo 2, those were my games. I lived on those fucking things.
I don't know how much you played Diablo, the original Diablo after Diablo 2 and stuff came out. I know you definitely got me beat by far in Diablo 2 or 3.
You had a problem
for a while. But I might have you beat in original Diablo hours.
I sucked the shit out of it.
I mean, it's an epic game, though.
Yeah. You could go either way on that one, but Diablo 2, yeah.
Diablo 2,
I'm going to throw it out on that because I played the shit out of Diablo. I'm not usually the guy that jumps on the first train.
We were teenagers and did not have lives.
When Diablo came out, we were in elementary school.
Like 20-somethings have lives. We had no lives.
God. Yeah.
We had nothing.
Nah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was married and had no kids.
I played Diablo.
My dad bought the computer for
work. You don't have to date.
He never used it. But the one I'm going to pick, because Travis did pick Diablo, I want to say something else, was the game that... It came out in the 90s that I played the hell out of that I still go back to. Metal Gear Solid. I fucking love that fucking...
That was a 90s game, too?
98.
I always thought it was like the 2000s. Oh, yeah, because I didn't play it until the 2000s.
PlayStation 2 was released in 2000, so...
Yeah, that I...
Well, you still have the original PlayStation.
I know. Metal Gear Solid. I haven't played the new ones much, but... That's a good game. I love that damn game. It is so... amazing. Even now to go back and play, it's still amazing. I love it.
Absolutely. I have it in my
I picked collection. Up Metal Gear Acid today.
Oh, nice.
I got a better copy. I'm working on a full Metal Gear collection.
Have you tried out Metal Gear Crystal Meth?
We posted
it
that,
is
didn't
the
we?
Best.
No, we did Pokemon Crystal
No,
Meth.
No, there's actually a ripoff. It was from our work. We had a hard drive enclosure called Metal Gear Box.
Oh yeah, I bought that. Yeah, because of the name.
It had the Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, the name was hilarious.
That's a long one.
Yeah, but it was called Metal Gear Box Substance or Subsistence, just like Metal
you
Gear.
You know, I never thought anybody would see that would appreciate it.
Yeah,
I know it was like the best box ever.
I put that on Facebook. Yeah,
I bought it because of that. Wow. It was hilarious.
Wow. All right, Larry, I guess it's up to you.
To get it, you know.
God, this is a ridiculous topic.
No, it's not.
It is. To narrow down the 90s.
You're standing right by the mic. They can hear everything whispering. Does not help.
You got what? Nobody for Crash Bandicoots?
New Bat
is
here.
No.
Yeah, New Bat's not here. Thank you. Yeah.
Nobody for Final Fantasy VII? Introduction of the polygons to an RPG experience? Oh, man.
I mentioned Final Fantasy.
There's so much going on.
Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah, thank you.
Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah. There is so much going on.
The 90s. One of my favorites of the 90s. It's actually got a fun quote to it too. So, of course, I'm gonna put a side note in that Dark Forces kicked ass.
Knit one, pearl one. Knit
that
one,
was a good
pearl
game.
One.
That's
it.
Knit
it one, was pearl it, the Star Wars variant of Doom.
Yeah,
was super freaking awesome.
All right.
Okay, but and this is a little more obscure, a little more peel back, but Final Liberation.
That's
was
an obscure
so
choice.
Freaking
that's
awesome.
It was a very obscure choice.
It was so freaking awesome. It was one of the perfect epic level Warhammer games ever done. It was so
that's
perfect.
Amiga, wasn't it?
Or PC. We played it on a PC.
Which game is this?
You are a traitor.
Backdoor Sluts. No.
It was on a PC. No, it was a PC. It was. I don't even know if it was an Amiga game. I think it was.
Larry's too drunk to remember.
Yeah. And it was Final
Microsoft
Liberation.
Windows in 1997.
And I tell you, so
only
we
on
had
Microsoft
this,
Windows.
We had this sucks. Really great.
Saw as a traitor too because I played it.
Basically, it's a turn-based, epic level. Almost straight port.
I was going a different direction.
Almost straight port of
straight port
Warhammer game. So epic level.
Rule 34.
Straight port. You know, I mean, it's turn based. It's not RTS, which was a little kind of hot at the time. You know, but that was and it was just orcs and
space marines yeah,
but it was awesome. It was perfect, you know, and so me and several of the guys are hanging out playing the game, and my daughter is, and she loved the game, and she's playing the game, and
backtrack
yeah, backtrack. And so she's playing the game with us, you know, and, you know, the big metal robots and stuff. She was cool into that. And so we're all playing this game, and she turns to me. She's like, "Hey, Dad, can I put in some Metallica?"
Oh, that's a moment. That is father and son. I'm sorry, father and daughter bonding at its best.
Yeah, I know. I'm
as
like,
long
yeah,
as it's not bonding,
absolutely.
We're good.
Absolutely. And so she goes to put in the Metallica. And one of the guys turns to me and goes, "I think she needs to spend more time with her mom." It was a cool moment.
That
it
is
was
a great
cool
moment.
That
was
a man, great moment. Final it's Liberation cool. was so awesome. The graphics supported the world of. You know, that world of Warhammer.
Yeah.
And it was so perfect.
Rob, before you sit down, why don't we give away another game?
He's talking about our ass, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. So go give away another game.
Do we really
walk
think
them
sober
sweet cheeks over there?
Yeah.
Give the
yeah.
listeners some
let's
viewers.
Let's give away loot. some viewers loot. Now. Let's give them.
Let them roll some bodies.
Show them some love. Show them some love.
The loots.
Right. Wait, are we going to play on the second part of this game? Second
like
part?
Piano, no. That, right?
No. Oh, okay.
It's like a pianist.
What are they?
It's like a pianist.
Today's second key is Draconian Wars. Redeem it on Steam.
Who's that by?
And we're about to shrink it.
Bleep. Who's that by?
That's by some guy.
Your mama. Nobody cares.
Guy made it.
It's by your mama.
And that guy is it's coming. It's by. Oh my God! Really, Cardley Studios.
Yusuf Mama.
Cardley Studios.
Cardfee Studios.
All right. So there's another freebie for you guys tonight. Well,
apparently, we haven't had on the show.
Just giving her away. Hey, call us up, Card People.
What?
I don't know.
You know, we haven't done the double episode recording
in a long time.
Really,
oh my God.
See why.
Yeah, we fall apart really quickly.
There's a reason why we don't.
But
at least we're
now self-aware that we're falling
apart.
See,
but we barely made it through the first episode.
That we thought we were just doing good episodes, but it's like, no, we're just all drunk. Yeah. I think they're great.
It's too bad we weren't doing video recording in early episodes so we could have like a montage of like us throwing up.
We gotta have a montage. I don't think any of us has thrown up on an episode.
You threw up after one.
And, like, straight up after. And to be fair, nobody threw up into your hot tub. So, super win.
Super win for me.
I mean, we did get on video of
they have thrown up in Tom's, however. So.
Yeah.
Two beers ejaculating on us today. That was.
By the way, Guys Games and Beer is funded the only way it ever could be funded by the fact that we're all rich.
Fat money banks. Now we're the 1%.
Yeah, we're the
1%.
Look at these fine walls of rich mahogany.
Now, to be fair,
fine wood panel walls.
We're probably 2%ers. See?
You know what? I'm a little more of a skim.
I don't like skim.
You go with the whole planet.
Because skim is just like white water.
Milk water. Yeah.
Milk water. I mean, if you're going to go milk water,
it's water that's lying about being milk.
So,
to quote Ron Swanson.
We are sticking to the 90s theme here. Ben is an expert at milk water. He's had it in his face a lot.
So many milk water moments.
All right, so Travis has been trying to salvage this episode, so let's talk about best console of the 90s. And I think I'm going to... I'm going to throw something out. I'm going to throw out the good old PlayStation. Look, the Dreamcast formed in 1998. I did buy it on day one. I love that system.
It's so technically
it's a beloved system. That is technically a 90s system. But the PlayStation for hours played and things that I've really just... And this is so not an insult to the Dreamcast.
To be fair, Dreamcast came in 1989.
Top five. Yeah. Top five systems is Dreamcast, but throughout the mid to late 90s, there's nothing beating the PlayStation. I just spent so much time playing it. It was at a time where I had, you know, my last system had been the SNES. Darlene and I were playing a lot of games on the SNES, and we just, for a while, it just got boring there. I mean, we weren't really playing games that much, and when the PlayStation came out, we picked it up probably the first week. It was back when you could actually pick up a system like in the first week as opposed to the first day with a reserve. And I gotta say, I was blown away by it.
Now, the SNES was 100% in the 80s.
No.
We were talking about the PlayStation.
We were talking about the PlayStation.
That's what
93. But
you
that's
mentioned
it.
The SNES.
Yeah, no.
It was your system of previous decade.
I was saying
it was my previous system, and I had really
his
kind
previous
of
system
tired.
Out of the decade. Literally, previous. You can't go to the bathroom and then walk back into a conversation.
I was trying to get back in ball.
You're like a small child that comes in the middle of the movie,
tugs at his shirt,
and just is like, what's going on?
Obviously, PC will always be my favorite console, no matter what. Glorious PC Master Race, but... If I'm actually picking an actual console, I'm with you on the PlayStation. Like,
The library is just unmatched.
The library, the one time I really remember watching a game and seeing it and just being legitimately amazed by a game, it was the first time I saw someone playing Resident Evil 2.
No.
The opening to that game, I just remember watching it going, holy
creepy
shit.
Creepy as fuck.
Creepy and just how amazing it looked. I was just like, it was like mind-blowing. It was
scared of the date of July 13th, 1998. Which Resident Evil 1 took place, and because it was my birthday, and I couldn't fall asleep because I was terrified.
The zombies are getting it too?
Yeah, because they used the real motion video in the first one. Yeah. So
we
were
really good at raising
an actual dead body.
The first time I played it, I was 7, and it was at a wedding. How does that
work? We really are bad people.
I've got some questions for you.
No!
I mean, there have always been games that will be like, oh, that's amazing and stuff. That was the one time I remember, I wasn't even playing, I was watching someone, they had just gotten it, and I just remember sitting there going, holy shit.
Yeah.
It was,
So many unique games. Yeah, I mean, Prepper Rapper, which started the rhythm genre game. Like, that was the first.
Oh!
Again, I'm looking to buy that for a long time.
Not just the first, the cell shading. That's one of the games that kind of...
No, that one's not really technically cell shaded.
Is this that?
It's a mix of 2D and 3D.
Weird deal.
Yeah, it's technically a 3D game with 2D, like 2D-ish graphics. But it's not technically cell shaded.
Okay, all right.
That was before cell shading.
Screw that, Jumping Flash.
Jumping Flash is
the first 3D game that I ever played that was smooth and wonderful.
One of the coolest looking long boxes in the PlayStation. Oh, it's beautiful.
I love that game. Jumping Flash is wonderful game. Yeah.
I remember one of the very first, besides like Resident Evil, things like that, one of the first 3D, like third-person games to play, Driver series. You guys remember the Driver series?
Yeah, I don't.
Because it was Driver 3, yeah, I think that was the first time. Because it was always
later on you were a disembodied soul. It became really weird, like by PlayStation 3, right? PlayStation 3 and Xbox.
But I remember the first time they had top-down view, but it was actually third-person, like. It was came up before Grand Theft Auto, actually, the third Grand Theft Auto, because the first two were top down, kind of same thing with.
It kind of stole its thunder. I remember that. Yeah, it was.
And I remember playing Driver because it came out before that. And I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And that's one reason why I like
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yep. Oh god, I wasted so many hours on that.
The first 90s one kids ever.
Yeah,
so
I
know the soundtrack by heart. Like, mm-hmm.
So is there any case for any other system?
No. Okay. In retrospect, and again, I couldn't afford it in the 90s. Never could have. It's very obscure. I have to say, it's hard not to say the Neo Geo AES.
Yeah, I was gonna say Neo Geo was. When I was a kid, that was like the thing.
I don't know if it's the best system of the 90s, but it's for what it does. It's unmatched for those arcade style games. You just can't beat the Neo Geo in quality of games. In just great gameplay and great games you want to go back and pick up again and again.
Yeah, that would just probably be terrible if you actually have one.
Saturn's not gonna make the bar.
I was looking at Saturn's
90s.
They had some good titles.
Because Dreamcast came out in 1999.
We talked about Dreamcast was 99, so it still makes the cut.
98, 99. I think it was 98.
So Saturn was, I think, 94. If I remember correct, 94 or 95.
Saturn was not.
Shining Force 3 was a legit game. It was like most Sega things, they come out too soon, or there's a misstep that happened where it's like, no, the next generation of hardware that came out was just like, nope, they got it.
But the more I've gotten to know, again, I fucking Neo Geo was not even on my radar until we did our episode about it. And like, the more I learn about it, it's just like the more I'm amazed by its capabilities. And like, again, I think it's a little easier now that people have, you know, come up with converters so you can use NBS carts and play games cheaper reasonably. But again, I don't own any multi-cart for it. I don't own a converter for it yet, and I've still been able to get AES titles very cheap.
What about the SNES though? I mean, the SNES had a lot of strong
GoldenEye.
RPGs.
GoldenEye. All you have to do is have GoldenEye.
Well, that's four.
Well, that's
four. And that's,
yeah. That, oh, yeah, I guess
you
so.
Know, that's,
never mind.
That's got some advantages, but I'm going to tell you, its Style 2 controller really is a drawback.
Well, the SNES was doing battle really with the Genesis, which was the late 80s winner. It was really impressive during the 80s. The SNES was great. I love the SNES.
Yeah, but the SNES wasn't
the Great War that no one really talks about.
No, it was a 90s console.
It's the Great Hair.
I think it's 91.
But you're right. The problem was it's one of these in between consoles.
No, it was solidly 90s. I know it was released in the 90s.
It's 90s. But it was still competing, like Rob said, it's competing
in the 80s. And it was a great system.
It can't compete in the 80s
if it wasn't released in the 80s.
But it was competing against
80s consoles. It was a super tail end of the NES. The Sega Genesis came out very soon afterwards.
It was a system that really proved Nintendo's dominance over like Atari and the companies that were
right. It killed the rest of those. Right.
NES maybe was a freak shot, but by SNES, you knew that Nintendo was a power to be dealt with. It was one of the best game systems of all time, possibly Nintendo's best system ever.
Well, that was my second for
and then, but then, and then you go, Sony goes, oh, we can do that.
Yeah, but yeah. PlayStation.
Yeah, your guys' timeline is super skewed.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, that's like a 2-year timeline. It was dealing with an 80s machine.
Because
the Genesis was an 80s machine.
Yeah, that's true. That's 89. That's 89.
It was there to combat late 80s machines.
Yeah, so, but again, I would say if it's released in the late end of the 89, it's technically the beginning of like the 90s. The time the games came out, the time SNES
you
came out,
you gotta count the Christmas before. The Christmas before.
But.
That's what pulls
but
you
PlayStation,
in.
But PlayStation, by the mid-90s, marked the difference between gaming in the 80s and gaming in the 90s. Gaming in the 80s was a flat 2D experience. It's not that the SNES wasn't much better than these systems, and it wasn't. It was an amazing system. But when the Super Nintendo came out, you said that this is the evolution of gaming. When PlayStation came out, This is something completely different.
You know, Rob, I thought this was your bitch time to talk about how great the Jaguar was.
No, I didn't do that.
With the links.
But it was 64
bits. Fuck you, people, got it.
It had more bits. It was obviously the best.
64 damn bits of justice.
Just through that commercial.
Yes, yeah. Do the goddamn.
Do the math! Do the math!
I grew up. It was like constantly on TV. Do the math! I did the math, but I'm looking and I'm seeing something that doesn't really match this math you're telling me about. But
turns out your math
ain't so hot.
Space math.
Two frames per
space
second.
Space math.
It's not
space
to say horror. That the Jaguar didn't have some great games for it. It did.
Wait,
it's just it
did
was
you just
no
lose
way.
All the Jaguar fans? It,
by four yeah. people in the world.
I don't know. MGC fans are generally
Jaguars.
The Jaguar.
Oh, sorry. That was actually a fan.
That was just wrong. That
we have no
I'm actually watch. Apologizing about that one.
The Jaguar is a fine machine. It's just, it was too late. It was too late. We
What's
had this discussion. We already had this discussion.
Last system in the 90s, just so we know what
the
we're
Dreamcast
talking.
Was last.
It's
got to
be the Dreamcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 9999.
99 is the
PlayStation
last.
Was 2000, so
you know what the problem is that okay, I'm gonna compare systems, and it's like okay,
we have been doing that
for sure, and you have the PlayStation, and it has all these different kinds of titles, but the Dreamcast is a better system in so many ways. But it's such an arcade system.
Yeah.
You know, it did fighting games super well.
Oh, my
it
God,
did,
yes.
You know, the fishing games so
in,
well. And so,
in my
but
mind.
But it never did RPGs well. It never,
no,
it
no,
did.
No. Screw that. Skies
no,
of Arcadia.
It did. Yeah.
Shenmue, RPGs. Skies of Arcadia.
Yeah, I know you.
Fantasy Star. Grandia 2.
Your four
Fantasy
choices.
Star Online.
Yeah, yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Whoa.
Travis got really
you want me to go fuck him? I'll go fuck
okay, I would have thrown this Dreamcast, but my criteria is most of those games did not get released in the
90s. Yeah, that was my thing.
Since it came out so late, I was like, I pretty much suck if I did the Dreamcast, it was gonna be the launch.
Well, it's the same as the Sega,
because all the good
that,
games
hey,
didn't come
90s,
out till after the 90s.
It's kind of weird because if I were to choose like a favorite console of all time, it would probably be the Dreamcast. But if you put me into the 90s, just in that section, the PlayStation, the SNES,
yeah, just
really
dominated.
Higher. They were just. It's just because I was enjoying them so much by that time. The early Dreamcast was okay. It was fun. I really loved the
but
system.
You
and I kept it until it died.
You limit it so
but,
much by saying just the 90s.
Right. But the 2000s were when
we'll
the Dreamcast
that.
Said,
yeah.
I'm the king of the arcade, you know? And it was a dying thing by the 2000s. And it was the only experience you had if you really wanted the arcade. But... I'm
okay
going to cry out here.
Sound like
it's
you
okay.
getting
it's
up
okay,
there emotionally.
Can I just
somebody cue the sad music.
From like the Hulk walking
hey, Heather,
away.
Hey, could you please put in some... Yeah, you're not going to do shit, Sober Rob. Fuck you. Anyway,
I want to be contrarian.
Achievement unlocked, so we just talk to themselves on the podcast.
Third person.
I want to be contrarian about it.
He's going to be contrary.
But the fact is, man, the shooting games on the PlayStation were so great.
I think it's really hard to not argue.
I'm gracious where it's at.
It's hard to argue against the PlayStation because it's just such a... It was such a game-changing machine. I mean, it brought Sony to the pinnacle of gaming at that time. Nintendo, the N64, as much as in hindsight, for a lot of kids that grew up in the 90s, it was like a big system. For people who were in their 20s in the 90s, it was
old
the kids' system.
Yes.
You're fucking 30. Like, you're,
I mean,
you want me to bring my kid in and show you how okay, old you are?
Okay.
How do you might as well get it over. Bye. Playing the youth card is fucked for you. So.
But
I'm
Empire
in my
20s,
so
awesome.
Can I play my youth
just
card?
So you know.
No.
But I'm still in my 20s. I'm not 30.
Shadow
yet.
Of the Empire was
you're
awesome.
You're so close.
So, I mean, like, what about the N64? Like, comparatively.
It's a good system.
I mean, my issue is I never owned one until I was older.
Right? I didn't own one until I was
always
40.
Wanted one because there were games I loved, like Mario Party, and there are tons of good games on it. It's just I never owned
and
one.
And Shadow of the Empire.
But I can agree with you, Rob. It was definitely a kid's system.
It was a kid's system. It's not that in retrospect it's a kid's system. It's that at that time, Sony had done such a good job of marketing the PlayStation. They'd done such a good job at locking really good games in. Nintendo had a very hard time competing at that point.
Yeah, they lost...
The N64 is a great system. I have it now because I love it.
I think
it's playing in the background, you know?
The controller was a turnoff. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the controller
it
was a
weird
turn-off.
Controller.
It
really, it the only thing
weird.
I
don't know what I do with this.
Four did well was the multiplayer. Again, when it came to it, it was like there were some good games. You obviously had your Ocarina of Time, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, obviously, developers like fucking Square jump ship because they wanted to go to CD-based media so they could store, you know, bigger games and do
cutscenes
and things like that.
That was
a lot of like, cutscenes.
But I mean, Conker's Bad Fur Day? Come on. Epic game. I mean, just an epic game-changing game.
N64 had its moments, but I think definitely think in retrospect, I think PlayStation won the war on that one.
Yeah, almost certainly.
It did.
I mean, by sales, yeah.
The sales, but even just looking back at the games and everything.
Yeah,
like,
in general,
the library
the
is
war.
Horrendous for that.
They,
I mean, they just
the
have
war.
So many.
I think the big disappointment with the N64 is coming off of... It really did change Nintendo's attitude on how they were gaming. When the SNES came out, that was the state of the art for gaming. That was it. That was the most powerful system. It was the best system. Everything was coming out for it. It was a hardcore
and
gamer
I
system.
Loved it.
And I did too. It was an ugly motherfucker, but still, it was just you play games, you played them on the SNES.
We discussed this. They just didn't want you to put your drink on it.
Yeah. They didn't want that. But the N64. It felt inferior.
Fun fact, it was a massacre. Not even just like a little bit. Sony PlayStation sold 102.49 million to Nintendo 64's 32.93 million.
Ooh, wow.
But I mean, massacre. That's not like a horrible number.
No,
it's still
sale.
Good. It's just
comparatively
PlayStation
sold.
Was amazing.
Right.
The Sega Saturn sold 9.5.
Oh. Which says, if you can get a deal on a Saturn, the price will only go up.
It's a great damn
Saturn. And those games are fucking expensive. Good luck collecting that
stuff. Yeah, Saturn games are horrendous.
$300 for Magic Knight Ray RS.
Yeah,
and like, all the goddamn good games came out in Japan. That really pisses me off. Like, the good news is Japanese.
Where am I
going to
get all
my
sexy Mahjong games?
Yeah.
I know.
Where's all my damn Mahjong games?
Look out for the future episode of Collecting Games with Guys, Games, and Beer.
All right, Rob, we should probably wrap this up and take it out.
Yeah, because Rob needs a freaking break.
Yeah.
All right.
And so do you, listeners.
So I think
you poor bastards.
Go grab a drink.
I think when we go around the circle, what we saw was that in the 90s, PlayStation dominated. And it's not because SNES wasn't good. It was SNES, again, one of the best systems of all time.
And not
time.
That PC hadn't come alive.
No, and the 90s was just a general golden age of gaming.
Yeah, it was. It was a good time.
It was
they
found
their
golden
niches
age
and they just
of gaming.
Them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Others just had bigger niches.
Right.
It was the best of times.
It was the worst of times.
Oh, my God. Kill us on a
clip. No, I think it was just all good.
And probably NEC. But... Yeah, it was a great time for gaming, the 90s, and I'm glad that we got to talk about
it. Yeah, it was
all the most dramatic changes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we really did.
I mean, obviously at this point, yeah, graphics keep improving, but in terms of what games could do, it saw the most dramatic changes in what consoles could do, and that's why it's so amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Take us out.
For those of you who enjoy classic G2B episodes, I'm sure this was a freaking treat for you. For those of you who are new listeners, really sorry about this particular episode.
And to everyone in general, we still are sorry.
Not everyone in general.
I'm not sorry. I feel like we're quality entertainment.
Generally. Anyway, this was episode number 212, right? Of Guys, Games, and Beer. You can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. I have to number them. www.guysgamesandbeer.net. You can check us out for free games every Friday on Facebook, except for two Fridays ago. That's
we time travel.
Dilation, yeah. But I was really, really drunk. I mean, you got to give me...
Deja vu.
You're welcome. I was really drunk. Thank you. I was really drunk that night. No, it was
Friday. But this Friday, there will be games.
Hey,
let's get Rob drunk again.
Free games. www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. Don't worry. If you are a Twitter user, @guysgamesbeer on Wednesday, we give away free games every Wednesday, except when we really don't feel like it and we're Tom.
Hey, same difference.
Yeah, for those of you who ever wondered who manned that thing, you can check us out on Twitch, if you're catching this on all the other formats, www.twitch.tv/guysgamesandbeer. You can see our last episode, how it was live, with the weird comments and shit and all. Thank you very much for watching or most likely listening to Guys, Games, and Beer. We love you very much.
That is true.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
For us, it's 2 weeks. It's just gonna kill
me. Come on.
Bye.
Why are we doing an episode next week?
We did two today.
We just did next week's episode.
Yeah, but why is there a...